JC2S, Part 1.
Number 12A.
So I keep going back to our main theme of the class then from the first evening, where Mrs. Eddy said that science is revolutionary. Well, it's revolutionary in our lives. It makes big demands. And if we want to be a spiritual scientist, I mean, that is something which is by grace. But I guess we do want to be. We wouldn't be interested in the subject and keep pursuing it as we do. So we begin, I think, every year we see more and more what the demands of the Christ upon us to be a scientist. And a spiritual scientist, she says, of the highest order. So as we go on, again, in this big tone of principle that's coming up, she will show that there is no physical science, that there is only the science of God. And therefore, as in any field of science, we know then that there is a tremendous amount of discipline that goes with the scientific polishing of categories. I think we saw that with Mrs. Eddy already in the mind is mind tone, which was divided into one half, where it showed her sudden revelation that came to her, and then the second half of solitary research, where she became aloof from society, became the scientist, to let science develop within her consciousness step by step. Again, the 432 revisions of the textbook, 7 main revisions out of that, which is the polishing, the refining, always going over and over the subject, never taking it just out of a flair for it, always coupling then her spiritual sense, of which was receptive to revelation, with the scientific sense, which brought out then that divine logic, which then was demonstrable. So to help along these lines, I just, as I say, would like to make a little workshop out of this afternoon. We're right on time with our subject, so we can take a moment to look at what it means here. So we saw then, as Kapler has given to us on page 5 in the epitome book, then these 3 big points of culturing the scientific sense within us in working with a chapter of a textbook from his epitomes. So we see that he then, and we just go over this, says that the big points are always, when working with the epitomes, what categories are indicated through these epitomes. That's always the first thing we look for when working with epitomes. Let the tonality of our categorical base consciousness read the epitomes. Then once we have identified the categories in the epitomes, point 2, how does the text express these categories? Not metaphysical ideas, but categories of the 7,000 year periods. Does the text express the categories, first category of the synonyms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love? Or is the text bringing out the fourfold operation through the word Christ, Christianity, and science? Or is the text bringing out the levels of science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science? So we look then for those categories that we feel we have seen in the epitomes, how that is brought out in the text now. So we go to the textbook to hear those categories. Once we feel we've seen and verified the categories in the epitomes in the text, then we make an exercise: what is the logical flow, order, and development in these epitomes? So if we take the first point of what are the categories indicated through these epitomes, we can then go back to our categories. And we know that when we began, when this study was started and initiated during John Dorley's time, and something, if you've gone through my introductory class, I've mentioned, that when they started this work with the synonymous terms, that they would take, in order to find out the ideas that characterize a synonym, they would go to the textbook, and everywhere a synonym appeared in the textbook, they would underline it in a different color. Now, I've just taken up Max Kapler's method of coloring. It has no spiritual significance of, above and beyond the fact that each synonym is given a color. So if we then, in those days, they went through the textbook, let's say, and everywhere mind appeared, they underlined mind in black. Then everywhere spirit appeared, let's just say, for example, you can use any color you want, they underlined spirit in orange. No spiritual meaning above and beyond, just color recognition of the synonym. Then, everywhere soul appeared, they would underline everywhere in the textbook, soul in yellow. And then, everywhere principle appeared in the textbook, they would underline it in purple. And then, everywhere life appeared, they would underline it in brown. And everywhere truth appeared, they would underline it in blue. And everywhere love appeared, they would underline it in green. Just for color recognition, quick recognition of finding where those synonyms are in the textbook. Then they would go back with the rules, as we know, and are in the study aid, of how to, through the impersonal methods of scientific text interpretation, ascertain the ideas that characterize mind, everywhere mind appears in the text. And then ascertain the ideas of spirit, everywhere spirit appears in the text, and ascertain the ideas for soul in the text, and then principle, life, truth, and love. And we know then in the mind compendium we have all the references to mind in the text, and in the spirit compendium all the references to spirit, and in the soul compendium all the references to soul and so forth. And then, of course, we can look up where the references are to the word Christ, Christianity, and science. Science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. So with this method of coloring, it already begins to give a quick recognition of the synonyms and where they are in the text, and also the ideas under mind can be underlined in black. And the ideas of spirit underlined in orange. And the ideas of soul underlined in yellow. And the ideas of principle in purple. And life in brown. And truth in blue. And love in green. So that it begins, that one begins to differentiate quickly a text. So this then is the method. Now, with the operation, because the word is life, that's just given the brown of life, because it's the Christ truth, that's given the blue of truth, because it's Christianity love, it's given the green of love, and because it's science, divine principle love, it's given the color of principle. Then on the levels of science itself, because that level, well, I'll start with Christian science, because that's a 5,000-year period of life that's given the color brown. And truth, the 6,000-year period, absolute Christian science. And divine science, the 7,000-year period, love, green. And then science itself, that standpoint for the infinite principle. So in this way, we have a quick color recognition of the categories. Now, when it comes then to working with the epitomes and answering that first important question that we have, what categories are indicated through the epitomes? Now, that can be done very quickly and easily through this color recognition. If we then take the work we've been doing and begin to use this method of color recognition of the main tones and subtones, we can quickly then see these categories in the text and not have to hold all that in consciousness. It's quick eye recognition. So if we take then mind as being, let's say, black, then we can go into the main tone of mind with black and put everywhere we hear mind. So under the all mind, that's a tone of mind, we can trace it under with black. And that translates the belief of a mortal mind, the opposite of mind. Therefore, it can be traced in a straight line of black or a broken line to mean it's the opposite. Out of itself, back into, and then the metaphysics of immortal mind, black. So right away you hear in that main tone, the mind tones. That it's the all mind. If you wanted, you could say translates it as blue because that's the Christ. But the all mind translates the belief of a mortal mind in black because it's the opposite of mind, out of itself, back into the metaphysics of immortal mind. And already we see very quickly the main tone mind, that it's the all mind translating the belief of mortal mind out of itself, back into the metaphysics of immortal mind. Then, when we go on to mind as mind, using this quick color recognition, we can say then that that all mind, which appears as the divine mind, is the all in all. We can just trace under with black. That's that main tone of mind. And therefore, the subtone is all then is divine mind and idea. If the divine mind is all in all, then that implies that all is divine mind and its idea. So you have mind in its main tone, mind in its subtone. Therefore, mortal mind, the opposite of that mind, is an error. Then, when we go on to the next subtone of spirit, we can trace what the main tone is still there, that mind's allness, that all mind, we can trace under with black, saying that's bringing on the main tone. And that mind's allness, now here comes the spirit tone, which we can underline in orange, as good. So we have mind allness is good. You hear mind is spirit. And that handles the opposite against mind is spirit, which is the unreality of evil. That's the opposite of spirit. And now we come back to spirit, positive, can only be discerned and understood spiritually. So already through color recognition, we see mind blended with spirit. Then we can go on and say, well, now what are the categories in the next epitome? Mind is soul. Well, the main tone, which is the subtones just developing the main tone, the all mind, we can trace under mind with black. Then we hear the category there of soul rules. So we recognize rules as soul, trace it under with yellow. Through divine metaphysics, which could be mind again if you like, mind rules through mind's divine metaphysics. And now, reversing perverted is what? Soul. Soul always reverses, doesn't it? Perverted. Reverses counterfeit. And physical hypotheses regarding deity mind. So right away, in our point one, we begin to recognize the categories in this epitome. Then, the next epitome to recognize its categories, we say, all right, we take the main tone mind, we trace it under with black, and then we recognize what is the principal tone here. Well, that divine mind is the one and only principle. That's mind is principle. So we can trace principle under with purple. Of the divine system, again a principal tone. Of metaphysical healing, mind. So you see that whole epitome has the tone of mind as principle. So we've fulfilled point One, in the epitome book there of working with epitomes, we've seen now the categories of mind and principle in this epitome. Then we just can go on to the next one to see the categories. And we see, well, therefore, the main tone of mind, that all mind, which we now have learned through the text, is divine metaphysics, is the principle of divine metaphysics. So we can underline that in black, because that divine metaphysics is mind. That mind is the principle of divine metaphysics. That's the mind tone. Is a practical living. That's life, huh? So mind, that all mind, which is the principle of divine metaphysics, we learn in the life subtone now, is practical in living. And then when we come to the next subtone, we have mind as truth. And then for recognizing the categories, we say, well, we can see, therefore, that main theme of mind is being continued on through divine metaphysics. So we can trace it under with black, meaning mind, rests on self-evident truth. So we see mind is truth. Everything else is a lie, the opposite of truth, so we can trace it under in blue. Or a denial, the opposite of truth, so we can trace it under in blue. And then we see, all right, to recognize the categories in this next epitome of mind is love. We can see then that that divine mind, that main tone of mind, is there. We trace it under in black. And then to hear the love category is one and all inclusive. We underline it in green. Their immortal mind, the opposite of mind, disappears. The opposite of that's what love does. It makes it disappear, love. So right away then, through this, we can look back at our text and we have immediate structure recognition of what is going on in those epitomes. We see immediately the blending of the category recognition. Now, the next point then is, well, how does the text express these categories? Well, then, in our little workshop here, we go to the text and we take the text, and where we come to mind is mind, we then see that that it says, well, that the divine mind is all. All is the divine mind an idea. Mortal mind is error. So therefore, we can read through and see that, for example, like she says, we can color the text by saying, well, when apparently near the confines, I'm reading on page 108, line 19, just mind is mine. For example, when apparently near the confines of mortal existence, standing already within the shadow of Death Valley, I learned these truths in divine science. Then in my text, I don't know if you can see, but it's colored in green. Under divine science, I've marked it green. So I just come right there and see, well, divine science is that standpoint of the 7,000-year period of love. So I just underlined it in green to let me know through structure recognition that she's talking here about divine science, that she's learning these truths in divine science. What is she learning? That all real being is in the divine mind. Well, I can underline now the divine mind in black. And going on, this was we saw in the Christ order. But going on in doing that, where we begin to see that in this epitome she's talking about the divine mind, we can underline the divine mind, and where that mind is all. Well, we could come like over on page 109. And this led up to my demonstration of the proposition that mind is all. So we can underline mind is all in black. And matter is not. Well, we can underline that in perhaps in orange, a broken orange tone, because now matter is not. And then the leading factor in mind science can be in black, because that mind is all. And mind is the leading factor in mind science. So you see that where you see that in the epitome, that point two then there where it asks how does the text express these categories? One can then, by having found the categories in the epitomes, find the categories in the text and then mark the text. And you see, I've been speaking to you so far from a very colorful text. And then I not only color the text, and that lets me immediately see the structure recognition of what I'm saying, but then you see my epitomes are all colored. And then also the notes, you see, that I'm speaking from, they're also all colored, you see? So I make life very easy for myself. I can recognize the categories very quickly when speaking. So you see, this is just a little trick that I learned from Max Kapler and brought out in the class one, that this is what they did when they were working with the textbook in learning what the synonymous terms and the other categories of being were, and that it just aided in quick structure recognition, helping us culture within us that scientific sense, that category-based consciousness. It just is a very, very wonderful aid to help us with that structure base. Then you can see, to fulfill point three, that we're asked to fulfill, which is, what is the logical flow and order of the development of these epitomes? Well, now look how easy that is. All we have to do now is look at the at our colored text as we have on the overhead here, and very easily we can follow the logical flow. You see, I had it very easy when I was flowing with us through the text because of the epitomes, because I just looked and I saw, oh, well, now I see that the main tone has to do with the all mind, which translates. You could put that in blue because that's the Christ. The belief of mortal mind out of itself back into could be in blue because that's the retranslation. The metaphysics back out of itself into the metaphysics of immortal mind. So right away I see, okay, now the main tone has to do with mind. There's so much black there, I can't miss it, huh? So therefore the main tone is the all mind, which comes and translates the belief of mortal mind, its opposite, out of itself, back into the metaphysics of immortal mind. All mind, 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 mind there, except mind operating according to the law of the Christ translation and retranslation. Then when we need to flow through the epitome, we say, okay, now I see that that main tone has to do with that all mind. Now I keep that in my consciousness. Mind is mind. That all mind is the all in all. Therefore, all is the divine mind and its idea. Mortal mind is an error. And then I can see, yes, that's what that all mind is about. It's that it's the all in all. Well, if it's the all in all, then everything in the universe, including man, must be mind and its idea. See? Therefore, mortal mind can't be anything, nothing. So I already am working with this epitome. Then I come to mind and spirit and I say, all right, I'm going to maintain that all mind. I see it in the epitome. The all mind, mind's allness, or the all mind, as spirit is telling me that all mind is good. Well, if that all mind is good, then it must be that awful unreality called evil. Evil can't be real. Must be unreal, the opposite of spirit. And that this fact, that mind is spirit, that mind is good, that fact can only, spirit, huh, be discerned and understood spiritually. It's only through spiritual discernment and understanding am I going to be able to see that mind is good, because, my goodness, I don't think that everything that's going on in the universe is good. Three-quarters of it I probably would want to call evil. But it's only, it shows in this epitome, when mind blends with spirit, that only, I can only see that mind is good through spiritual discernment. By focusing only on that which is real, being a real Noah, separating myself from the flood of materiality, going into my ark of consciousness, and pondering and focusing only on that which is real. Detaching myself from all material conceptions and focusing on that which is real, that which is of God. Then I'll be able to see that mind is only good. Then we see, well, if that mind which is all in all, therefore all is mind and its idea, and therefore mind as spirit says that mind is only good, well, I see that now, and I also learned something more about that all mind, is that it rules through divine metaphysics. How? By reversing perverted and physical hypotheses regarding mind. So I says, well, that mind is soul. That mind rules, that soul, through its divine metaphysics. How is mind ruling? Well, soul says that mind is going to rule by reversing. You hear that it's going to, in this chapter, reverse. That's the office of soul in this chapter, in the translation, to reverse all those counterfeit, inverted, perverted hypotheses as to regarding mind. And so therefore, already by building up from mind is mind, mind is spirit, mind is soul, seeing that that all mind, which is the all in all, which is only good, which is ruling by reversing perverted and hypotheses regarding mind. Now I see that that builds up the identity principle of mind. Now I see at the point of mind of principle that that divine mind, that all mind in the main tone, now has an identity principle. That mind now is a principle. Because I've tested it through mind is mind, mind is spirit, mind is soul, has shown me that that is the only principle ruling. And that it's a principle which is a dimensional principle, a principle that rules dimensionally, we saw there, as a divine system of metaphysical healing. That wonderful statement we saw there in Principle as Mind, where we saw from the infinite one in science comes one principle in its infinite idea, and with this infinitude come spiritual rules, laws, and their demonstration. That's how that divine that mind is the one principle of the divine metaphysical system of metaphysical healing. It's that one dimensional principle, which operates dimensionally and brings out wholeness, health on every level of consciousness.